morning. I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought this was a beautiful day to go to church. Welcome. Good to see you all. What a gorgeous day we've got going on outside. We'll take it. Little break from the humidity, little break from the temperature. So good to see you all here and visiting and enjoying one another. Save some of that. We have food and refreshments after church, so you can pick right back up where you left off. So welcome to Grace on this spectacular Sunday morning. Welcome if you're in the sanctuary, if you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, or if you're at home taking this in online. We greet you warmly in the name of Christ. Just a few announcements before we get started. First of all, the flowers on the altar are in memory of Scott Poyer. So Scott's family is here, so welcome. And then today, as I said, food and refreshments after in the fellowship hall. Wednesday, 8 a.m., Bible study with me. And we're still working our way through the Gospel of John. We're getting almost all the way through it. So, and then we take a 15-minute break, and then the prayer group meets. So there's prayer cards in the pew if you have a prayer request. Write that out on the prayer card and put it in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. And then we have some birthdays this week. We will pray for them by name at the end of the service next Sunday, July 31st. Wow, July is gone just like that. So pretty soon it'll be August, and I'm an old teacher, so that I got to fight that feeling that once we hit August, my summer's over. No, there's a lot of summer left. So, but anyway. I think you should probably get your newsletter articles in. Rena didn't put that in the bulletin, but that's a pretty standard announcement this time of the month. So if you have newsletter articles, Rena would love to have them this week. Our July mission of the month, and as you go through and get food today, there'll be a basket out there. If you feel led to give, it's not mandatory, but if you feel led to give, it's the THIP Prothane benefit. Thip is the mother of six children who, if you remember, she's recovering from gunshot wounds received by her ex-husband, and it was just a bizarre thing. She was trying to escape an abusive situation, and he found her. So anyway, we want to get behind that. He's in jail now, where he should be, and we want to get behind her and support her and her family too. So some big thank yous go out. I got a Sunday off last week, and that's thanks to Greg Anderson, Dwayne Hybe, and Jeff Struck, our three Gideons, who took over and did the service. And from what I hear, they did a spectacular job, so thank you so much. And then to those who brought food and served it after church last Sunday. Any other announcements before we get started? Yes, Cheryl.
I just got the August schedule for the directory.
Okay. Super, super. We are doing a new photo directory for the church here, and this is not about membership. If you just attend here, we would love to have you in that directory because this is just a tool. You know, we've all met someone new, and we think, oh, what's their name? You know, go back to the directory. Oh, that's who they are. It's just a tool. So if you like to worship here, we would love to have you in the photo directory because you're kind of part of the family. We're all family, and I've never pushed membership here. People just come, and they feel at home, and that's what we like. So we are doing a new photo directory. We've had some shots in June and July, and now the last chance is this week in August. The schedule's out there, and so feel free to sign up. And this company's been really fun to work with, so they're not heavy-handed. They'll offer you a package of pictures to, of course, because they'd like to sell some issue, but they're not going to twist your arm or anything. If you don't want it, that's fine. So sign up. Hope you can do that. All right, let's turn the corner into our worship service proper. We open our worship today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And let's take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship. Thank you.
morning. Good morning. Great to see you all this morning. I'd like to invite you to join us in our opening hymn of worship. It's not in any of our hymnals, but it's kind of a familiar one, so you can follow along on the screen and sing, "Come Christians, Join to Sing."
Come Christians, join to sing.
You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes.
With your right hand, you save me.
The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we have received from you forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. Grant us one thing more, a thankful heart. Fill us with an irrepressible gratitude, as you did the saints before us, who, having been forgiven much, loved much. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
I'll ask the praise team to join me as we turn to the response hymn titled, "Come Thou Font of Every Blessing." It's hymn number 499 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Come thou fount of every blessing.
Thank you, praise singers. There's quite the backstory to that hymn. Robert Robertson was kind of a wild guy, was in a London gang, and actually went to an evangelistic meeting for the cause of disrupting it. And he heard the gospel. I think it was George Whitefield who was preaching, and was converted right there on the spot. And so we have a beautiful testimony of salvation in this hymn. And we are debtors to grace. Doesn't matter if who we are, what we've done, God has resolved that issue for us, and he relates to us out of his love and mercy and grace. And we connect with that truth every Sunday. This is a great place to start. We all gather around the foot of the cross, and the ground is all level there. And so let's, in our brief order of confession and forgiveness, gather at the foot of the cross, shall we? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's promise to us from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news to us confessed sinners this morning, that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. Christians all over the planet have confessed this orthodox statement of faith for over 1,700 years, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
First reading this morning is from Colossians, the second chapter. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us, and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, source of all comfort and prayer, teach us to pray, and especially to ask for those things for which we need to pray. May we, like loving children, persist in prayer to seek your will and find your peace. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of peace, we pray for the people of Ukraine. We pray for peace. We pray for those who fear for tomorrow, that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you feed the birds and clothe the lilies. Forgive our distrust of your fatherly care and our anxious concern for temporal needs. By your Holy Spirit, direct us to live instead for the hallowing of your name, the coming of your kingdom, and the doing of your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for seed and for soil, and for sunshine and showers, and above all, for life and growth from you. We pray for seasonable weather, that the Lord may yield its fruits to you, to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church, who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
you, John. I think we heard in those scriptures listed in the lectionary for this seventh Sunday after Pentecost, God's disposition towards us. Our culture likes to portray God either as a senile old grandfather figure or as some angry judge, but the truth is God is a loving Father, and he's revealed his love to us in Christ. And he is satisfied in Christ with us. And so what a joyous thing it is to live underneath an open heaven, to know that God loves us. But it's we're going to hear a little bit more about that in today's message. But before we get there, I'm going to invite you to stand up and stretch your legs. And in the best way that seems appropriate to you, greet your neighbor. Good morning. Good to see you. Good morning, Cheryl. Good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you.
You too.
All right. Norman? All right. Good to see you, my friend. Good to see you.
The song I'd like to share with you this morning, it's by a Christian band called Casting Crowns, and the name of the song is East to West, and I think, if I'm correct, you'll be hearing the song referenced a little bit later in the service, like during the message. So it's just about how far our sins are removed from us because of what Jesus did, and a little bit more too. So East to West. Here I am, Lord, and I'm drowning in your sea of forgetfulness. The chains of yesterday surround me, and I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake at night. Know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up to me again. In the arms of your mercy, I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to another. I start the day the war begins, endless reminding of my sin. And time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms
rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. And I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into night. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through the night. I can live by what I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me. Jesus, you know just how far the east is from the west. And I don't have to see the man I've been come rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy, I feel rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west. From one scarred hand to another. How far is the east from the west? From one scarred hand to another. How far is the east from the west? From one scarred hand to another.
Thank you, Amy. You know, I shot a text off to Amy this week and said, hey, just FYI, no pressure, but I'm going to reference this Casting Crowns song during my message. Just no pressure, but just thought I'd let you know. And then she knocks it out of the park. So thank you, Amy, for that. We call it ministry and music for a reason. So, well, we're going to hear a little bit more about this, but before we get there, I'm going to ask the kids if you'd meet me over at the table in the chair, and I see Dacia's making her way up with the fruit snacks, so it won't be a total loss. All right, come on up. That's a joke, by the way. You can laugh. All right. How you guys doing? All right, good to see you. Summer? You liking summer? Okay, if we go into summer, we might do some fun things, and I know I loved to make paper airplanes when I was a kid. Now, do you think that people out there should duck if I throw this out there? You think it'll, maybe we'll have a hard time catching it? It'll just fly around the sanctuary all during my sermon and distract people? Why? It'll fall eventually? Well, probably sooner than eventually. Well, that didn't too. Well, I even have a different model of a paper airplane here, so maybe this one will work better. No. Well, you said it'll fall eventually. You were right. What about this ball? If I toss this ball up, is it going to come back down? Well, I only have one ball in my bag, and so I'm hoping so. I'm going to try this again, okay? And I want to make sure it comes down. So can you promise me that it'll come down? You promise? Okay. Came down again. So why were you able to promise me? Gravity, the law of gravity, right on. So, well, today we're going to talk about assurance. You assured me that that would come down. And we need assurance in our lives about how God feels about us and about our forgiveness and about heaven and all of these things. And this is our law of gravity right here, is God shows us the cross, and in that cross he promises us that all of our sins are forgiven, okay, and that we have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? So God calls us to trust him in the same way that we trusted that ball to come back down. He says, look at the cross. Your sins are forgiven. And so let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this cross. In it is your promise, the guarantee that our sins are forgiven. And we pray today that this message of your forgiveness would set our hearts free once again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, thank you guys for coming up and putting up with my paper airplane. So let's give them a hand. Well, as we come before God's word today, let's just pause for a moment of prayer. So, Lord, your word is truth because you stand behind it, all of your faithfulness, all of your power. And we pray today, as we come in contact with this word, that you might speak to our hearts and our minds. Amen. Well, the title of today's message is Assurance. Assurance, it's one of those things we all want. We want to have confidence, don't we? If we were to parse out assurance, there's a number of key words that hang off of it. To have confidence, to have certainty. Next slide, please. To make safe and secure. Okay? Confidence, certainty, safe and secure, and then freedom from doubt. We want these things in our lives. As humans, we crave assurance because we want control. We want control over our lives. We want to guarantee the good and eliminate the bad. Locks, contracts, insurance, airbags, life preservers, oh, the list could go on and on. Things that we want assurance from. But what about assurance when it comes to spiritual matters? Can I control a holy God? What will happen to me, a sinner, when I die and face this holy God? You see, there's a struggle that goes on inside of me, captured in the song that Amy just sang, the struggle between what I believe and how I feel. Now, what we are called to believe is clearly presented in the song that Amy just sang, based on Psalm 103. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The word of the Lord. But because we are human, and more accurately, fallen humans who wrestle with our sinful natures, we often feel condemned even when God declares us forgiven in Christ. Thus, the song that Amy just sang, casting crowns east to west, the chains of yesterday surround me, I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west, but today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. I start the day, the war begins, endless reminding of my sin. Time and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. I can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. Now the danger of trying to relate to God from a basis of our performance is that we will never escape the feeling that this song captures, the feeling of guilt, the feeling like, how much more mercy can God have on me? I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. So when we base our relationship with God off of our performance and change who he is also,
in that equation, we will lose sight of the absolutely jaw-dropping wonder of what Christ has done for us. This is what the book of Galatians is all about. Now, as has been our custom during this series on Galatians, I'll just give you a brief introduction or recap of what this book is about. Paul's letter to the Galatians, a recap. Paul, the Jewish Pharisee who spent most of his life rigorously relating to God out of his performance, was given a new identity as a forgiven child of God and then called to be Christ's apostle to the Gentiles. Paul then founded churches in the region of Galatia, preaching salvation by God's grace alone in Jesus Christ, without performing any human works of obedience or performance. Now, Paul wrote this letter to correct an error that some Jewish teachers had introduced into these churches, namely that Christ alone wasn't enough, but must be supplemented by our obedience, specifically to Jewish traditional law. Now, Paul spent a lot of his life swimming in this world, and he just absolutely will not let go of this. So he is like a pit bull when it comes to the truth of the gospel. It's Christ alone. So Paul is going to drag out his knowledge of the Old Testament, which is deep. He's already in this book pointed us to Abraham, who predates the law by 400 years. He points us to Abraham as the gospel believer of all time, and that God preached the gospel to him. So here's Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 22. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Deuteronomy 27, 26. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, the righteous man shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4. Paul had a love affair with this particular verse. He quotes it in Romans 1:17 too. And by way, Habakkuk 2:4, Old Testament prophet, calls us to faith. This is where Luther made his great breakthrough. He was teaching the book of Romans and came upon Romans 1:17 and this verse, and his heart was set free by the gospel. The righteous man shall live by faith. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Leviticus 18:5. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Deuteronomy 21:23. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relations. Even though it is only a man's covenant, yet when it has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. What I am saying is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. It's the promise of the gospel. For if the inheritance is based on law, it is no longer based on a promise. But God has granted it to Abraham by means of a promise. Why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now, a mediator is not for one party only, whereas God is only one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. And here it comes. But the Scripture has shut up everyone under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, not perform, those who believe in the promise of Christ. There is a lot in this text. As a former Old Testament professor,
I could go on and on about all the Old Testament scriptures Paul quotes here, but we can't handle that in a 15 to 20 minute message. But I want us to focus today on Paul's kingdom logic here, which he explains why the law can never save us. It was never designed to save us, and why Christ alone does save us. First of all, Paul's a good law gospel preacher, so the first thing he does is to state an airtight case against legalism. That's earning our way, the old-fashioned way, by obedience to God's law. Because Paul says when you try to earn your way to God by performing the law, you're going to find out that the law puts you under a curse. And this is where he quotes Deuteronomy 27, 26. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Paul just crushes any thought of legalism here. He says, you realize how good you have to be to earn your way to God? You've got to be perfect. You've got to obey all things written in the book of the law, not just 60% or 70% or 90, 95, 98. 90. It's got to be perfect because God himself is perfect. He is holy. So it won't work that way. The law will condemn you. That's what it was designed to do. It's designed to be like a mirror to show us that we're sinners and that we need a Savior. So having let the uncompromising demand of the law do its proper work, namely killing in us any hope of earning our salvation by performing it, Paul now shows us in Christ the airtight case for our salvation, and that's namely the curse of Christ. What happened on the cross? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In theological terms, we call this vicarious satisfaction or substitutionary atonement. Jesus took the curse of the law, the curse that was aimed at us as sinners, he took that upon himself and he became the sinner in the judgment hall of God. Paul later in 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. The great exchange, as we call it. Jesus took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. Now, before we move to application, let's just quickly review the ground Paul has laid out for us so far in the book of Galatians and what he's hammering home here in this text. We'll do this by just four simple pictures. First of all, the first slide, the life of faith in Christ is that we understand God's original plan of salvation. This is why Paul took us back to Abraham, who predates the law by 430 years. And God promised Abraham that someone from his lineage, someone from his family, would bless all the families of the earth. And Paul told us back in Galatians 3, that's the gospel, the hope of a Savior. And Abraham believed that in Genesis 15, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So we have to understand God's original plan. It's never been about earning our way to God. That wasn't the purpose of the law. So that's the first step. The second slide, then, is the life of faith in Christ. We realize that the total demand of the law separates us from God. So the law is like the doctor who gives us the diagnosis. You're sick, okay? We may not want to hear that, but you're sick and you need help. So you need surgery. So the law then shows us that we're separated from God. And then the third slide is where we believe that Christ took our curse upon himself and satisfied the law. The law has no steam left for us. It exhausted itself on Christ. He took the whole curse for us. This is the bridge that God builds for us in the cross. And then the fourth slide is that we enter God's kingdom by faith in the finished work of Christ. It's finished. It's completed. That's why Jesus said in John 19, it is finished. And then he bowed his head and gave up his life. He completed our salvation right there. So you see, here's the point today about all of this and assurance. When Christ is the Savior and Christ alone, then God's gift of assurance finds its proper place in our lives. We live beneath an open heaven. If you thought I wasn't going to quote Luther in today's message, well, here it is. Luther had a little something to say about this in his commentary on Galatians. He says this, "Our merciful Father in heaven saw how the law oppressed us and how impossible it was for us to get out from under the curse of the law. He therefore sent his only Son into the world and said to him, 'You are now Peter the liar, Paul the persecutor, David the adulterer, Adam the disobedient, the thief on the cross. You, my son, must pay the world's iniquity.' The law growls, 'All right. If your son is taking the sin of the world, I see no sins anywhere else but in him. He shall die on the cross, and the law kills Christ, but we go free.'" That's the gospel, my friends. That's the good news. So what does this mean to you in the year 2022 in Grace Lutheran Church in Erhard, Minnesota? Well, it means the same thing it meant for Paul and the Galatian Christians some 1970 years ago. Simply stated, because Jesus took the curse of the law in my place, that's my law of gravity, that's what holds me, he completely satisfied the law's demand that sin be punished. There's no punishment left. Because Jesus took my punishment, there is no condemnation or punishment left for me, regardless of my feelings. Okay? How I feel and what God says. Sometimes those are conflicted, but who wins the day? God does. He stands behind his promise in faithfulness. By simple God-given trust in him, I live as God's beloved child. Because Jesus removed the barrier of my sin, God only relates to me as my loving Father. Now, we've all experienced tragedy, suffering, and the devil will come whispering in our ear, "Oh, Brad, God's angry with you. God's punishing you." But the gospel says, no, God's not punishing me. God is my friend. So we take that off the table whenever we experience tragedy or suffering. So God only relates to me as a loving Father, period. Now, sometimes his love may take disciplinary form. I've experienced that in my life. But that's up to you. You have to discern that yourselves. But many times, suffering is just a mystery. We don't know why. We live in a fallen world, okay? So we have to remember that in Christ, God is satisfied. He doesn't need to punish you. Jesus took all of that. And so you see, when I encounter life's difficulties, I can be certain that God is not punishing me, because Jesus has reconciled me to God. There is no black cloud hanging over me. God is not my enemy. He's my friend. That's his promise to you in the cross. No punishment left. Look at the cross. Jesus took it all. He said it's finished. So what it means is that he walks with me as my friend in the frequent mystery of my hardship and sufferings in this world. To God be the glory. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we will overcome, not by our muscle, but by your mercy. by the sacrifice of your blood and our grateful testimonies to your glory and grace. Indeed, Jesus, may the Spirit declare the gospel so loudly in our hearts that it literally drowns out Satan's constant protestations of our guilt. Indeed, how can we keep from singing? Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord Sabbath, His name from age to age the same, and He must win the battle. A prayer by Scotty Smith and a brilliant quote from Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress. God's peace be to each and every one of you. To God be the glory. As we respond to God's good gospel word today, you're invited to sing Blessed Assurance, hymn 699 in the blue hymnal, verses 1 through 3.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please be seated. As is our custom, we take this time to do some praying. And so first on our prayer list are those who celebrate birthdays this week. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the assurance that our work really amounts to nothing compared to what You've done for us. How can we buy for a penny what you paid $1 million for. We praise and thank you for what you did on the cross for us. And we lift up those who celebrate birthdays this week. We pray your blessing upon Wyatt Hybe, Brett Weiss, Don Wallstrom, Arlene Statham, Larry Mostu, Carol Hybe, and Amy Tollefson. Lord, may each have a profound awareness this week of your love and your goodness for them. Lord, each of us are walking in this world as pilgrims in a strange land sometimes. But Lord, here we are. And we ask that you would accompany us through our difficulties and through our joys. May you be light to us, and may we be light to others. And we lift up now our own hearts to you in this moment of silence. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As our time together this morning here draws to a close, I'd like to invite you to stand as you're able as we sing the Law Gospel Doxology.
Your perfect law exposes me. I feel my sin in desperate need. My best good works are powerless to satisfy your righteousness. But there is one who lives for me.
Good to be together today. Thank you for sharing your Sunday and adding to the fellowship here. God's blessings upon you as you leave now, whether you're listening on the radio or watching it online or exiting the sanctuary here. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord. Thanks be to God.